So my story begins in 1988. I was 19 years old, and my story is set in Salisbury, Maryland, a little college town on the Lower Eastern Shore. My best friend at the time was named Lisa, and Lisa was in her first year at the college, at the university, and I had spoken to her the day before she disappeared. And I received a call from her sister telling me that she had disappeared, and shortly thereafter, her boyfriend showed up on my doorstep, and we went and reported her missing, and the police decided not to look for her. They wrote her off as a runaway. Now, I don't know a whole lot about being a woman, except that you don't leave your makeup bag when you're running away. And her makeup bag was in her room, and when we brought that to the attention of law enforcement, they chose to ignore it. I was incensed and decided they needed help. So at 19 years of age, I went and banged on the door of the state police barrack, and I asked for an application. I did receive an application. I filled it out. And while I was in the application process, they found Lisa's body just across the street from the university. She had been raped multiple times, stabbed 13 times, and left for dead. Her body was dismembered by animals that summer. It was very hot as she laid waiting for the police to finally discover her. One man was convicted, charged, I should say. One man was charged with her murder, and he was convicted while I was in the police academy. The other members of this local drug gang, to this day, still go unnamed. Now, for the next few years, I policed in an effort to stop any other young lady from having the same experience Lisa did. And eventually, I went up through the ranks, and you can flash forward for 10 years. And by then, I was a barrack commander in Easton, which is in the middle of the Eastern Shore here in Maryland, of course. And I received a phone call from a very good friend of mine who was working undercover. He was the president of our local union, and he was working undercover investigating a mid-level drug dealer. And he was very excited on this particular day because he'd been given the green light to go ahead and make a deal for a kilo of cocaine that would ultimately bring down this drug dealer. He had a cold, I heard it in his voice, and I just told him to be careful out there. Well, that night, I was in my second year of law school, by the way. That night, as I left the law school heading home, I received a phone call from the duty sergeant informing me that my friend had been shot in the head. And come to find out, when he went to make this undercover buy in D.C., the drug dealer turned and looped back around on him and shot him straight in the head. I responded immediately to the hospital, and there was about 100, 150 other officers there. Ed was really, really, really popular. He had three small children and a wife who also worked for the department. And I got there too late. He was already dead. And they let us form a line inside the emergency room of the hospital that led to a room where Ed's body lay. And I stood in that line. And eventually I was able to get to place my hand on his chest. His head was wrapped in a turban where the gunshot had done all the damage. And as I laid my hand on his warm chest, I felt the stillness of the room, and I felt the only way to describe it that I can describe it to you would be spirits of good guys and bad guys and those caught in the middle of this drug war. They all came careening down and said to me, "Lee, what is this of your justice? What is this of your justice?" And I left that hospital room. And I said, you know what? We're doing this wrong. Something about this drug war has so utterly failed us. And I vowed to myself then that I would do what I could to make a difference. I went on to serve in the ranks of the state police because I didn't know, quite frankly, what that difference would be. And I ultimately retired and began working as a professor at the University of Maryland Carey School of Law. And I worked side by side with students, and we got to go into communities in Baltimore City, communities that I was shown about these communities by Professor Blum, Brenda Bratton Blum, who has lived in Baltimore forever. And we ran a legal advice clinic, a brief advice clinic, where people would come in and tell us their stories. And I heard over and over and over again about how lives were impacted in Baltimore City by this failed war on drugs. I heard about students who were thrown out of college because they had gotten a drug arrest. I heard about people who couldn't get into housing because they had a drug arrest. I heard about grandkids who couldn't go visit their grandmother or their grandfather because they had a drug arrest. I heard about people who couldn't get jobs and put food on the plates of their family because they had a drug arrest. And I became convinced that the only thing that we could do would be to repeal this drug war and to do something different and to take crime out of the equation. And so to this day still, I've often been asked the question, are you still impacted by the deaths of your friends? And it's easy for me to say, nah, I'm so far past that. It's been a long time, because it has. But when I really sit down with myself, I have to tell you that violence, in this case drug violence, puts an indelible mark on your soul, a mark that you never truly get over. And so I spend my time, my extra time, investing in groups like Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, LEAP, Law Enforcement Action Partnership, now called, working with groups like the Baltimore Harm Reduction Coalition, doing good work here in Baltimore City, groups that need donations, groups that need money, but they also need your time. If you're interested in doing any volunteer for LEAP, please let me know. We're looking for researchers and writers to help us out. If you're looking to do any volunteer work for the Baltimore Harm Reduction Coalition, let me know or go to their website. They're looking for people to help with opioid overdose training and naloxone distribution, as well as community outreach and syringe collection in neighborhoods here in Baltimore City. Thank you for your time.